Bedford, and it is the 19th of August, 2002. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky with Meredith Grady Johnson at her home. Johnston, J-O-H-N-T-O-N, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about schools in Adair County where she grew up and the desegregation of those schools. Miss Johnston, just go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me where you went to school at the early ages of your life.
Well, my name is Meredith Johnston, and I went to school in Jackman High School in the black section of town. And I went from the first grade, we didn't have kindergarten at the time, so I went from the first grade to the 10th grade, I think it was. And from the 10th grade, our school got burnt down, and so we went to school in the community houses and churches. And after that, after integration began, we were integrated in the white public schools.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about Jackman School.
Jackman School was a very exciting school. We had lots of activities, kind of like the Waltons.
Mm-hmm.
We had family togetherness at Jackman High School. We had social activities at the school. We had, last night I was telling my husband about May Day activities. We'd invite a neighboring school over and we'd play games, and the main thing for the day was the girls played softball and the boys played ball, and it was kind of like something going on all the time, and that was just to raise money to keep our schools going, because it was a poor school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had teachers. Some of the teachers that were at the school are here in Louisville. Miss Brown, Miss Crow was my homemade teacher. I wasn't under Miss Brown, but she was an elementary teacher. And Mr. Traylor was my principal. What's her name? She was Mrs. Bomer, but she married Mr. Irving Bomer at Columbia, but she was a Miss Tandy from Hopkinsville. And she was a history teacher or English teacher or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Did the teachers there, you know, how would you rank the teachers from Jackman in terms of their skill?
Very good teachers. Dedicated teachers. Teachers that wanted to see the children excel. They were really, really good teachers. And they were good in the community too. You know, I mean, if something was wrong, you know, they were the kind of teachers that would get those parents together and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were good teachers. Then one teacher, Fred Willis's uncle, he was a teacher too. Robert Ewing.
I guess Jackman kind of served as an institution for the black community as well as the school.
It definitely was.
Uh-huh.
It was an institution for the community because, you know, like I said, I acquaint ourselves with the Waltons. Like on Walton Mountain, we were in Columbia, and that's the way our community operated. Like the community in Walton's Mountain. And that's the way we were.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way I can explain it, to get you to have an idea of how we were. Because the parents, and you know how when you go away from home and you do something you shouldn't do? We had no telephones. You go away from home and you do something you shouldn't do, and by the time you got home, your mom knew about it already. That we wondered how they got the news so fast. Well, I don't. I still don't know how they did it.
That was. I'm sure that was pretty beneficial, though, for children.
Yes, because everybody watched everybody's children. That was our. That was our. You know, our community. Everybody was parents.
Do you think that was stronger? I mean, first of all, do you think that existed countywide, or do you think that was something stronger in the black community?
I think it was just probably the black community.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, before schools were integrated, was there much interaction between whites and blacks in Columbia?
We would, like, go to their schools on special occasions, and they would visit our school on special occasions.
Such as what? What kind of occasions?
Well, oh, like maybe Black History Week. They would might come to our school, or we might go to their school. Or like for Christmas, they would come and sing Christmas carols, and we would go like that. But that was about it.
Were you well received in those cases?
Yes, yes.
And they were the whites well received over at Jackman?
Yes, yes, indeed.
But
you know what? I'll tell you something about the whites in Columbia. They were, and they still are, very nice people. You know, I don't care where you go, you're going to have some that are indignant. But for the most part, most of them were very nice people. You know, I babysat for the guy who drove the school bus that I rode on, you know. And he was as nice as he could be. And sometimes I was late, he wouldn't go off and leave me.
Right. When the Jackman School burned down, what was the reaction in the black community?
Stunned. You know, completely stunned. And in awe, and not, well, you know, there was no money to build a new school. You know, I really think we weren't supposed to say anything about this, but there was money sent to the superintendent for our school, and he took that money and put it in the white school.
Why weren't you supposed to say anything about it?
Well, it was just the teachers told us, you know, not to say anything about it, but we knew he did it, you know, because our principal was mad as heck. Her name was Ruby Smith. Now, she was from, I think, Harlem, Kentucky. And she lived here in Louisville, but I think she's dead now. But he took our money and built the white school. So we didn't have any money for our school.
Was that money, what kind of money was that? Was that insurance money?
I don't know whether it was insurance money or grant money. I think it might have been grant money or something. I don't know. But that was way before the fire. You know.
Oh, it wasn't a result of the building burning down.
It wasn't a result of the building burning down. But this was something that our principal found out about.
While Jackman still stood.
While Jackman still stood, uh-huh.
Okay.
And they wouldn't. And that's not the reason Jackman burned down either. You know, Jackman, it was just an old school, and it was cold, and one of the stoves, you put coal in it, and one of the stoves had a spark in the attic, probably, and it just burnt like paper.
Was that during a school day? I mean, were there students?
School was just out. I hadn't got home yet before it was down to the ground.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What was the speculation in the black community after it happened? You know, after they got over you said that black community was stunned. You know, mm-hmm. after that initial mm-hmm. realization that our school doesn't exist anymore, you know, did the black people, what did they speculate would happen?
Well, I don't think there was any speculation. I think the fireman said it was caused by maybe a spark in the You would have to see. It was an old frame school. It was not a brick school. It was a...
What did the black community would predict would happen in the future, you know, the immediate future?
They didn't know what was going to happen in the immediate future because they had no idea, you know, where the kids were going to go to school at.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have any place to go to school at the time. So I think the teachers got together with the community and decided to let us use the churches and some of the houses that were empty.
Mm-hmm. And that went on for how long?
I really, really and truly don't remember. Because we weren't out of school long. I think we, if I'm not mistaken, we were back in those churches and houses the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember being out of school that long. And I'm not good with back then. But I really don't. I don't think we weren't out of school that long enough. Some of the kids went to Lincoln Ridge.
When students went to Lincoln Ridge back then, I'm guessing they lived up in at Lincoln Ridge. That was too far to travel daily, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I don't know where the kids from Jamestown went. I know one of the guys went to Lincoln Ridge along with one of the guys from my class went to Lincoln Ridge. But they stayed there. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They came back home like once a week or once a month or something like that.
Some time had passed, and during the same period, after Jackman had burned, the Supreme Court made its ruling about segregation, declared it illegal, mm-hmm. and then they clarified it a year later. And pretty soon thereafter, a lawsuit was filed against the Adair County system.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember how your parents became involved in this lawsuit, and you and your siblings?
No, they were just. I think my parents were just looking for equal opportunities. You know, my parents belonged to the NAACP, and I think. That's what got them moving is the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the one that called the meeting. The members of the NAACP called that meeting.
Let's talk about that meeting. What was the meeting?
Sweetheart, I have no idea because I didn't go to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I don't think any of the black children went to the meeting.
Was it a meeting between... obviously black parents, and was it white parents and school officials at this meeting?
Right.
And the purpose of the meeting?
Was to decide whether they were going to let the black kids go to the white schools. Uh-huh.
Do you remember the outcome of the meeting?
We went to the white schools.
Okay.
You know what? I think the outcome of the meeting was very favorable because the few that were protesting got a surprise.
Few that were protesting what?
The blacks going to the white schools.
The white protesters against integration.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
They got a surprise, you
they
say.
They got a surprise from the more influential white people in Adair County. Because they were the ones that said, you know, I'm not firing the people that work for me. I'm not, you know, these kids have a right to go to these schools. And they were the one that backed the black people.
Why do you think that happened like that?
Because of the type of people that really are in Adair County.
You think that the majority of the white community supported the idea of integration at the time?
They did at that time.
Yeah.
They did.
Uh-huh. Do you ever recall any kind of pressure to not be involved with this, any kind of threats, any kind of animosity at all?
No.
Okay. Let's talk about your first experience at the white school. This is a Dare County High School.
Well, everybody was, you know, nervous. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know how you were going to be received. And I think everybody was a little nervous. My grandfather was a very outspoken black man, and I think everybody in Adair County knew him. And he said, nobody better not touch none of his grandchildren. And he was down on the courthouse square saying that. And I think everybody was just, the parents of the black community were just waiting around to see if there was any negativities. And there was none. You know, we were received peacefully and calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like we'd been there before. And I know that they were nervous too. You know, like some of the teachers were nervous too, because they didn't know what we knew, and we didn't know what they knew, and you just didn't know how to approach it, you know. And they did it beautifully, you know. Very, you know, if you didn't know, she'd appoint somebody to help you with it. The teacher would appoint somebody to help you with it, to bring you up to date, you know, because we were behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it worked beautifully that way.
Do you think that you were behind because of the situation without a school building and kind of a disruptive period?
No.
Or was it that way anyhow?
It was that way anyhow, because they had more to work with than we did.
The white students.
The white schools, uh-huh. They had more to work with than we did. And not... you know, not putting our teachers down, they did marvelous with what they had to work with. You know, they did great. They did a great job. And then, you know how some kids are going to be smarter than others?
Sure.
Well, so they're the ones that was going to be smarter than others excelled beautifully. And then the ones that were a little bit slow, which I was one of them, you know, but I did fine.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It sounds like there may not have needed to be a concern for that first day of integrated school,
right.
But there still was a concern.
Sure there was.
How did you prepare yourself for that first day?
Well, I thought if there was anything, if anything happened, I was going to leave and go home. You know, if there's anything that happened in the classroom, I was going to get out, because I was within walking distance. I was just going to get out and go home, you know. And I think all of us had that idea that, you know, if anything happens, we'll just get out and come home, you know, or call your parents and tell them to come and get you.
When you and the other black students that first came to Adair County High School, how did you guys arrive to the school? Like, were you accompanied by anyone, or... You know, was there any kind of protection, even if it wasn't necessary? You recall anything like that?
Let me see if I can remember that. Maybe some of the parents were out there. Maybe they were. Like I said, I really don't remember, because it was so normal. You know, I can't recall any and I'm sure some of the parents did go. Like Mr. Willis, for one, because he was a concerned parent. He's a good person. And I'm sure some of the others went. Probably my mother. I don't know if they did or not.
Understand.
I'm drawing a blank here.
It sounds like it wasn't necessary for them to go, no, although they may have.
Yeah, it really wasn't necessary. And I'm sure some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Tell me a little bit about...
There was no people standing out front, you know, saying, here comes the niggers and all that kind of stuff. There was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Our niggas go home. There was none of that. We just walked into the school and we got our assignments and we went to our classroom study hall.
Tell me a little bit about the interaction you had with white students over the course of that first semester.
You know, just like when you go to a new school, an all-white school, and you meet new students. And some you interact with and some you don't. That's the way it was.
Did some whites embrace you a little bit more than others?
Well, that's with any school, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kids are... You kind of gel with some more than others, you know.
Regardless of race.
And then that's just the way it was,
mm-hmm.
You know. Like I said, Michael Campbell was a nice guy. Bill Ballou was super nice. And one of the guys that I went to school with is a principal here in Louisville. He was crazy, super nice. The girls were as nice as they could be. June and Joe Young.
What were some things that these people did to show their niceness?
We had PE together. We sat in the gym and talked together. We played Rook together. It was just like any other school day, you know. I never did learn how to play Rook good, but we played.
Card game, you're talking about Rook?
Yeah. Rook, mm-hmm.
Did you expect that before you arrived there? Did you expect this kind of harmony?
I didn't know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what to expect, really and truly. I didn't know what to expect. But I was willing to be flexible. You know, I was willing to be flexible. And when you go to the stores and things, people were already nice. You know, when you went to the stores, you tried on clothes and all that. People are like, I don't know anything about. I know it's there, but I never experienced any from before school started, before schools were integrated. I never experienced any. I was never around any white that were, how do I say, belligerent or nasty or what.
Mm-hmm.
I was never around any of them like that. The only ones that I were around were extremely nice. So I know the indignant part of them that was there, but I never experienced it. You know, I don't think I've ever been called a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody in my family has ever been called. They may have been, but I can't remember my sisters or anybody saying that they were called that. But, and I don't know of anybody in our neighborhood, any of my girlfriends, you know, they may have said it behind our backs, but they never said it in our face. So if they had those kind of, and I'm sure they did, you know, I'm sure they had I'm sure some of them were prejudiced, and I'm sure some of them, I guess it's because, you know, like, this is your area, you stay in this area, and don't penetrate ours. And I don't really think that was what it was either.
You didn't feel like you were relegated to a certain area of town like that?
No, I never did. No, never. Adair County is a peaceful little place for real.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a very peaceful little place.
Could you talk a little bit about Mr. Bomer, the teacher? Now, you didn't have him as a teacher, you said.
I didn't have him as a teacher, but they say he's an excellent teacher. I did not have... my teachers were like Miss Tandy, Miss Spruill, Robert Ewing. Miss Crow, Miss Andy Crow. But Mr. Bomer was one of the most educated men in the black community. He was I think Robert Ewing, because most of those people's education didn't go any further than, well, some of them went to the 12th grade, most of them went to 8th grade. I think my mother had 12 years of education. But my mother was born in Adair County, but at some point in time in her early life, they moved to Indiana, and stayed for several years. And then she came, then they moved back to Adair County. And I think it was, Mr. Bogle was the most educated black man in our community.
Did he push for this integration to happen?
I don't want to say that he did or didn't because I don't know.
I understand.
I know he was involved in it,
mm-hmm.
But I think most of the people, it was a community decision from the NAACP because they all belong to the NAACP. And I think that's where the push came from, you know, the attorney for the NAACP. I think he pushed it.
He was the most instrumental in getting this thing.
He was the most
instrumental. James Crumlin, you're talking about.
Yeah, right. He was the most instrumental. And he was at that meeting with them. So I don't know who got it together or anything. It's just that it was a community decision.
Do you think, when do you think schools would have been integrated in Adair County had Jackman never burned down?
Probably never. Unless the government pushed it. But probably never. And then it may have and it may not have.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see it happening if Jackman hadn't burned down. I think what Jackman really needed was to upgrade their educational facilities, upgrade the things that they needed, you know, like books, typewriters, you know, just keep us along with what's going on. And I don't think there would have been a problem, you know, with integrating anywhere. But like I said, the government. And I don't think anybody would have complained if our school had been on the same level as the white school.
It sounds like there was no desire really for the blacks to attend school with whites outright. It was just in search of a building and better materials.
In search of a better education.
Right.
That was the main thing. You know, you want them to teach us, you know, our teachers came to the schools to teach us, but give them what they need to teach us with. They didn't have what they needed to teach us with. All of that was put in the white schools, and when that was put in the white schools, then that's when we had a gripe. You know, give me what you want for yourself. And that was the biggest gripe. You know, just give us what you have, what you're working with. Let us have the same thing. And that was the main gripe.
Mm-hmm. So. Ms. Johnston, I